KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Tyreek Wynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. Former NFL player Sergio Brown, who is black, is pleading not guilty to first-degree murder related to the death of his mother in Illinois. Brown is accused of killing 73-year-old Myrtle Brown and hiding her body near their home in Chicago suburb of Maywood in September. Sergio and his mother were both reported missing on September 16th, and her body was found less than 50 yards from the backyard door of their house. With Hanukkah starting, New York City police are beefing up security following a huge rise in hate crimes. Mayor Eric Adams, who is black, says there's elevated security around public menorah displays and all lighting events to allow New Yorkers to celebrate Hanukkah safely. Adams gathered with religious leaders at City Hall today to call for unity and peace following a rash of hate crime incidents against Jewish and other religious communities. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wynn on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network, and BINnews.com.
Need an accident attorney by your side? All you got to do is call the Accident Guys.
Injured in a car accident or at work? The Accident Guys can come to you almost anywhere, so you don't have to come to us. Se habla español.
Environmental justice, pollution, and climate. In Los Angeles and across America, people of color are suffering and dying from disproportionate health impacts on a planet that has less than 10 years to prevent irreversible damage. Heat illnesses, respiratory illnesses, water-related illnesses, food system impacts, insect-related diseases, black maternal health, and mental health effects. As the impacts of climate change mount, millions of vulnerable people, our people, are going to bear the brunt of these extreme environmental events, which will likely lead to forced displacement, loss of cultural identity, and other related risks. These realities are as real as rain. Stay tuned to KBLA Talk 1580 for more details about the most progressive multimedia and live events campaign any black media outlet has ever undertaken to combat the climate catastrophe. Experts, events, empowerment. It's all on the way from unapologetically progressive KBLA Talk 1580. We don't black down. We level up.
Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up.
The views and opinions expressed and resources shared on this program are strictly informational and should not be substituted for medical advice or evaluation.
I told you I don't need to talk to nobody.
My daughter's losing weight. She sleeps all the time and has terrible moods.
My drinking ain't the problem. You nagging me is the problem.
Problems and pressure are at the backdrop of everyday life, impacting our physical, mental, and spiritual health. But where are the solutions? And who is concerned about the family? The Urban Family. Presenting Urban Family Focus, hosted by Reverend Gerald Smith, here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Good morning, KBLA Talk 1580 congregation. You're listening to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And in this program, we talk about those subjects that we don't talk about quite enough within our households. Things like addiction, mental illness, health and wellness, conflict resolution, financial literacy, and grief. If it affects the urban family, we bring attention to it and provide resources and answers to all your questions about it. Our goal is to make sure when you get up early on a Saturday morning, you catch that worm of wisdom, opportunity, resources, and motivation to live your best life. Our quote from the week comes from Kingsley Opararu Emanuel, and he says this: abuse is the weakest expression of strength. It is the weakness to destroy what ought to be protected, built up, and made better. We've got a lot to talk about here on KBLA Talk 1580, and our topic this morning is healing from life's dirty little secrets. Our guest is Soraya Christine, motivational speaker, consultant, certified life coach, and author. Her early life is chronicled in her first book, When is Strong Strong Enough? Today, she's dedicated to bringing a message that advocates and uplifts victims of domestic violence and sexual abuse. As a minister, keynote speaker, and workshop leader, she helps others break through the boundaries that are limiting their beliefs and help them through the muck of and mire of this thing we call life. She is currently pursuing a PhD in psychology to complement her master's degree in management and leadership and her bachelor's degree in business management. Soraya, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Thank you so much for having me. It is such a pleasure and joy to be here this morning.
And we're glad to have you here with us. And I want you to know I was able to, through the technology of Kindle, take a good look at that book, When Is Strong Strong Enough? So I'd like you to start by sharing a little bit about yourself with our audience and tell them just exactly when is strong strong enough.
Never, apparently. One of my favorite sayings is life be lifing, you know, mm-hmm. and it is just what it is. And so what I have learned is that who you are rooted in is the creation of that strength. So you're going to be very weak throughout life because it's going to continue to knock you from one side to the other. But if you have strong roots in your faith, strong roots in the Word of God for me, and I know that's not everybody's thing, mm-hmm. but if you have strong roots, you'll be able to withstand the storms that life's going to bring. It's going to bring them consistently throughout life. Are there going to be periods of, you know, ease? Is there going to be what they call the eye of the storm where it's a little bit calm? Absolutely. But right after that, there's another storm that's going to come. And so that's what I want people to understand is that's who I am at my core. The core of who I am is learning how to push through the pain because the pain is not going to stop. You have to learn how to continue to push through it so that you can continue to live and walk in your purpose.
So we're talking about learning how to grow through your experiences and not let those experiences keep you in a depressed state or a state in which you feel hopeless and helpless.
Yes. And I've been there. I've been there, Rev.
Well, I read the story, so I know a little bit about it. And we're going to let you tell that story before you get out of here today, because as I was reading the book, When It's Strong, Strong Enough, the thing that I kept thinking about was, you know, with all the experiences that you had and all the things that you went through and all the things that you've to this date grown through, you know, you would think it's unique. But in our reality, most of us may not go through the same things you went through, but we all went through something that did sidetrack us, but could have left us on the side of the road if we hadn't have found a way to get back on.
That's so true. That's so true. And that's what I remind myself of every day is that somebody didn't make it through what you made it through. Mm-hmm. Somebody, you know, didn't continue their journey. Some people chose not to, and some people, you know, it wasn't their choice, but they didn't make it to where I make it. They didn't survive what I've survived. And so I tell myself that every day that, and I think Steve Harvey said it on the stage one day, is that, you know, I have survived 100% of the things that were meant and that came to take me out. And that continues to give me strength and continues to strengthen my faith every day.
Well, we just have a couple of minutes before we have to go forward, but tell our audience like where you grew up. I know you from mm-hmm. is it Cleveland?
Cleveland, Ohio.
It's the home of LeBron James. So tell Indeed. Us a little bit about those early years and then when we come forward we're really get into that book and go through some of the things that you've been through and how you're using those things today to help other people.
Yeah, so I'm an inner city kid. I actually grew up in East Cleveland, Ohio, for much of my early childhood. I went to an amazing school, and honestly, that school is probably what helped me to survive all of the trauma that I was going through, being molested, and just different things happening in the inner city. I had a very pivotal moment that we can talk about later at age 11. And then, you know, moved on to Cleveland, Ohio, graduated from the amazing Glenville High School. So shout out to them for winning their championship in football again this year. And just, you know, I had a really rough existence growing up. And as I continued to grow, some of it became decisions that I made, but they were decisions rooted in survival. And so that's, you know, one of the messages that I try to put out to the world is that, you know, we have to get past the state of living in survival mode because it's harmful to us and our relationships as we continue to grow. So,
that sums it up. But that's only the tip of the iceberg. So I want everybody to get to grab that cup of coffee, sit down and relax, because Soraya's got something to share with you this morning. And we're going to get into her story and talk a little bit about the book, When It's Strong, Strong Enough, and some of the great things that she's doing to help people who've gone through similar things in their life. When we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
Healthy lives, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580.
Environmental justice, pollution, and climate. In Los Angeles and across America, people of color are suffering and dying from disproportionate health impacts on a planet that has less than 10 years to prevent irreversible damage. Heat illnesses, respiratory illnesses, water-related illnesses, food system impacts, insect-related diseases, black maternal health, and mental health effects. As the impacts of climate change mount, millions of vulnerable people, our people, are going to bear the brunt of these extreme environmental events, which will likely lead to forced displacement, loss of cultural identity, and other related risks. These realities are as real as rain. Stay tuned to KBLA Talk 1580 for more details about the most progressive multimedia and live events campaign any black media outlet has ever undertaken to combat the climate catastrophe. Experts, events, empowerment. It's all on the way from unapologetically progressive KBLA Talk 1580. We don't black down. We level up.
Level up. Level up. Level up, 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 level up.
Hey, it's Amanda, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is that they're so easy for the holidays. They're warm and flavorful. It's always a crowd pleaser. When I put down a nugget tray, everyone is happy.
Hey, this is Brian, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is the joy that it brings to me and everybody around me during the holidays. They're warm, juicy, and delicious.
Cater the holidays with Chick-fil-A today. Available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
My ride smells just right, just right, just right, just right.
Y'all gotta try that Febreze car.
Just right, just right, just right, just right. La 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 la. With up to 40 days of consistent scent, all low Febreze car clips right on your vent. You know my car's my happy place. Keep that smile on my face. When it smells just right, just right, just right. Breathe happy Febreze. La 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 la.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith,
a spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and we're having a conversation this morning entitled Healing from Life's Dirty Little Secrets. Our guest is Soraya Christine, motivational speaker and author, and we're going to talk to her about a book that she wrote that kind of chronicles her early life in just a moment. But before we do that, I just want to say last evening I had the opportunity to go to the Brotherhood Crusades dinner where they honored Pat Harvey. And it was a great event. And as I was walking into the dining area, and I ran into the new president and CEO of the Los Angeles Urban League, just announced this week, Cynthia Hurd is now the president and CEO of the Los Angeles Urban League, much deserving. And we congratulate her. And as you know, who listen to this show, the Los Angeles Urban League is a big supporter of not just Urban Family Focus, but this radio station. So we wish Cynthia well as she continues to bring the Urban League back into that the limelight in which they deserve, something that was started by my good dear friend Michael Lawson, who is finally going to retire from his great career as being a partner in Skadden Arps and an ambassador for Obama, and then taking the Urban League back into a space where we all can look for great things coming from the Los Angeles Urban League. So I just want to congratulate Cynthia and say thank you to Michael for supporting this station and supporting Urban Family Focus. So, Soraya, as I said, I did get a chance to read the book, When Is Strong Strong Enough? And I have to tell you that I was touched by the foreword of that book, which I believe your daughter wrote. Am I right?
Yeah.
And of all the things that you've been through and all the things that you've had to endure, what struck me was she said, the thing that she admires about you the most is the unconditional love that she got from a teen mom. You know, that hit me in the heart. And so tell us a little bit about this journey, When Is Strong Strong Enough, and so people can get the big picture of who you are and what you're all about and why you do what you do today.
Absolutely. So the topic of our conversation today is about dirty little secrets, right? Or dirty family secrets. And I can't remember the exact wording, but at age 11, I experienced a monumental shift in my life. I was sitting with my grandfather on his deathbed. And mind you, my grandfather was my hero up until this moment. Grandfather was somebody that I turned to when I was feeling down. He was somebody that was like a Superman to me at a young age, you know, and even though he had his issues, he was, you know, one of the people in the streets that did some things that were unsavory in the streets, and places I probably shouldn't have been. I remember being like 4 years old in the strip club, you know, so he, you know, he had his dirt, but he was an amazing man to me. And while sitting next to him at age 11 on his deathbed, he turns to me and he says, Soraya, the man that you think is your father is not your real father. Hmm. And with his very next breath, it was his last. And he didn't say anything else. And he was gone. And I couldn't ask any questions. And I was stuck at age 11 years old with more emotions than I understood how to unpack. Because at that same time, I was coming out of the four-year molestation. I was going to court for that. And I was also starting middle school at the same time. Literally, all of this is happening. And it's a whirlwind in my world. And it completely changed the trajectory of my very existence. And so when we talk about dirty little secrets, you know, we talk about those hidden family secrets. We talk about those things that families are so used to, you know, keep it in the house. What happens in the house stays in the house, and sweeping things under the rug and all the little cliche statements that we use, we're hurting people in the process. Absolutely. Because it wasn't fair, you know, for them to keep that secret from me. And now here I'm at age 11 and I have to find out in this manner while losing my hero at the same time. And now my hero became the destroyer of my world.
So he told you that the man that you've been calling daddy wasn't daddy. And I know that that was a shock to you at age 11. And there's a lot of us, I'm sure, who know somebody that's been through a similar situation. But from what I read, you know, it didn't stop there. Some things continued to jump up, and you went through a lot of changes, a lot of twists and a lot of turns. And where you are today is amazing. And the fact that you have been through what you've been through and you dedicated your life to helping others get through it is also amazing. You know, you talked about the molestation and I think all of us growing up had what you described in the book as fake cousins, you know, people that were close to the family but really weren't related to us, but we called them cousin anyway. So I remember the story about the fake cousins and mom's boyfriend. So you can elaborate a little bit of that if you like, but you know, those were the people who, how should I say, touched your life in the wrong way.
Yeah. So initially, so even prior to me being molested by my mom's living boyfriend, who was a firefighter, by the way.
Respectable guy in the community.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, to me, that's somebody that you go to for help, right?
Right.
But in private, he was causing a lot of pain. But even prior to that, I had a female cousin, and she was actually, so come to find out, you know, they were related to the man that I thought was my father. So all the time, I thought they were my actual cousins, but they were not.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them molested me as well, prior to, and this was a female.
Mm.
So even prior to being molested by this man, I was molested by a female who was close to me. And so that led me, after all of this, to really honestly hate people.
Mm.
I hated people. I had a large distrust for everybody because at this point, I had been hurt by both sides, male and female. I had also been lied to my entire life. So I didn't trust anyone, including my mom.
Mm.
You know, and I felt like it wasn't fair, like I said earlier, for her to not disclose this information to me. And I know, you know, parents deal out of the capacity that they have at that time. I did too, you know, as a teenage mom. And so I understand now, even being a grandmother at this stage in my life, you know, that we operate from what we believe is the best for our kids at that time. But I just want people to reconsider, you know, the family lies, because the lies destroy the person when they find out. And so my life took such a dramatic turn at that point at age 11. So now I'm angry, and now that anger is growing every day inside of me. And so then I ended up becoming, you know, an angry teenager. Mm-hmm. Then I became a promiscuous teenager. And so then I started dealing with things like date rape and, you know, sexual assaults and domestic abuse and different things of that nature. And so all of those things started to follow me, and fighting in the streets, and just, you know, I wanted to be, and I was really, really smart. That's the crazy thing. I was really, really smart. I was really, really book smart. I went to a gifted school, and I got to the point where I didn't embrace that. I didn't want to be smart. I just wanted to fit in, you know. I just wanted to not be seen. I wanted to fit in. I didn't want to stand out. And so I tried my best to make that happen. And so, you know, I injected myself into the streets, into the street life, and became a part of that, even though that wasn't really who I was at my core. But that's what was being dictated to me, you know, in my mind because of all the trauma. And so I just kept spiraling out of control.
So you had this anger inside of you for being mistreated, being lied to, but also you recognized that you had talent, that you were smarter than the average kid. You were going to a progressive school that were for people of your intellect, but you chose to move away from that and move into the streets as you define it, because you wanted to belong. You wanted to have something that you could relate to that made you get back at the world, so to speak, for all the things that had happened to you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So with all that experience at a young age, and you did say you became a teenage mom, and as I skimmed through your text, I saw where you had many relationships with what we used to call, when I was growing up, the players and hustlers on the street, you know, which can be appealing, can be attractive, because there's cash around, and, you know, there's always a party going on and everybody's having fun. But how did you get to a point where you finally decided that there was something else? You know, did you have to move? Did you change environments? I know you left Cleveland and came west, but, you know, what was the if you can think back, what was the day when you said, you know what, I'm going a different direction. I've had enough of these streets and enough of these bad relationships, and there's something more for me. What happened that day that made you make that decision?
Yeah, so it actually took a really long time for me to get there. I spent all of my teenage years in mess and the majority of my 20s as well. And it started, so I kind of went back and forth. It started in my 20s. I had moved to Atlanta first, and I started having anxiety attacks. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what they were. I felt like I was dying. I thought I was having a heart attack, so I would rush to the hospital, and they would tell me my heart's fine. I'm having a panic attack. And so that gave me the realization that something was wrong. And at that same time, one of my doctors had put me on depression medication because I was obviously very depressed as well. And that gave me the realization that something needs to change. I can't keep having these panic attacks because I felt like they were going to take me out. And so what I started to do in that moment was journal. Mm-hmm. And I started to journal the things that I could remember. And I remember asking God, even though I wasn't following him, you know, mm-hmm. I remember asking to open up my memory so that I could remember all the things that I suppressed over the years. And so as I'm writing this journal, so many things started coming back to my remembrance, and I'm just writing. Now, mind you, I'm still wild. I'm still in the streets. I'm still doing all the crazy things that I was doing, but I'm taking a step forward. And so fast forward, multiple years later, I had moved back to Ohio, started going to nursing school, stopped going to nursing school, and ended up subsequently moving to Las Vegas, Nevada. But when I got to Las Vegas, Nevada, after several years of just literally trying to figure it out without gaining any real traction, but realizing that there was some purpose inside of me somewhere, mm-hmm. I ended up at a church that I wasn't even intending to go to. I was intending to go to a different church this day and somehow ended up at another church. I don't even know how that happened to this day. But I remember hearing the pastor say, drinking poison, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And so when I heard that, it literally floored me and the tears just became uncontrollable. And I remember hearing God tell me, it's not about you. And I was devastated because up until this moment, it was about me, you know, I thought. And so that's how I had been living my life. That's how I had been treating people. You know, it was all about me because I had been the one abused. I had been the one lied to. I had been the one who went through all of this trauma. You know, I had been the one who became a teenage alcoholic. I had been the one, you know, who became a teenage mom. It was all about me. And so to hear that voice tell me that it wasn't about me was a very interesting change for me. And so that book, that journal that I had been writing all of these years, he told me was going to become a published book. Mm-hmm. And I laughed and I'm like, oh, no, it's not. I'm not putting all that information out there. And ultimately, obviously, because you have read the book, you see that I did not win that fight. Mm-hmm. So that book is what became When It's Strong, Strong Enough. And from there, I started to do speaking engagements. I started to host conferences. And I started to do events that would help other people to heal because now the mantle upon my life was, it's not about me. Somebody else needed to hear my story so that they know that they could heal through whatever painful experience they were living through. All of it, I became a domestically abused wife at age 18. Mm-hmm. You know, he literally almost killed me. Mm-hmm. I literally narrowly escaped with my life. You know, I was a literal hostage. So, you know, all of these things that I've experienced, you know, early on in life were things that other people have experienced and don't understand how to get out of or don't understand how to get past. Or once they do get past it, they don't understand how to heal from it. And they stay stuck in their past. And that past continues to haunt them throughout their life. I understand all of that because I've been there. Thanks. And so, you know, knowing what my role is now, that's what causes me to do what it is that I do today, which is literally just whatever I can to help people heal in the form of speaking engagements, workshops, conferences, and things of that nature.
Well, Soraya, thank you for sharing. And the word that you heard the pastor say was forgiveness. You always have to start there by forgiving yourself and forgiving others. And We're going to talk more about your experience and more about winning is strong enough. There's a couple of things I wanted to ask you about, and particularly the fact that you started journaling on your own is something that most of us as counselors encourage people to do, and you seem to have just picked it up and did it by faith, and we appreciate you sharing with us. We're going to continue to talk to Soraya about her journey, when it's strong enough, and we come forward here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Disagree without disrespect.
Make your point and keep it pushing.
Let's do this.
Listen and learn, or talk and teach. Talking and listening around the clock. Around the clock. Around the clock. KBLA Talk 1580.
I'm Tyreek Wynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. Former NFL player Sergio Brown, who is black, is pleading not guilty to first-degree murder related to the death of his mother in Illinois. Brown is accused of killing 73-year-old Myrtle Brown and hiding her body near their home in Chicago suburb of Maywood in September. Sergio and his mother were both reported missing on September 16th, and her body was found less than 50 yards from the backyard door of their house. With Hanukkah starting, New York City police are beefing up security following a huge rise in hate crimes. Mayor Eric Adams, who is black, says there's elevated security around public menorah displays and all lighting events to allow New Yorkers to celebrate Hanukkah safely. Adams gathered with religious leaders at City Hall today to call for unity and peace following a rash of hate crime incidents against Jewish and other religious communities. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wynn on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network, and BINnews.com.
Need an accident attorney by your side? All you got to do is call the Accident Guys.
Injured in a car accident or at work? The Accident Guys can come to you almost anywhere, so you don't have to come to us. Se habla español.
Environmental justice, pollution, and climate. In Los Angeles and across America, people of color are suffering and dying from disproportionate health impacts on a planet that has less than 10 years to prevent irreversible damage. Heat illnesses, respiratory illnesses, water-related illnesses, food system impacts, insect-related diseases, black maternal health, and mental health effects. As the impacts of climate change mount, millions of vulnerable people, our people, are going to bear the brunt of these extreme environmental events, which will likely lead to forced displacement, loss of cultural identity, and other related risks. These realities are as real as rain. Stay tuned to KBLA Talk 1580 for more details about the most progressive multimedia and live events campaign any black media outlet has ever undertaken to combat the climate catastrophe. Experts, events, empowerment. It's all on the way from unapologetically progressive. KBLA Talk 1580. We don't black down. We level up.
Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up.
KBLA Talk
1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
Hi, Maisha Cairo here, KBLA, live at Chase Bank on Crenshaw and Vernon for the In This Together tour with female business owners, a day of empowerment, community panels, and best of all, tips on building business from marketing to capital. I was able to speak with Kate Luzio, former banking executive and now owner of Luminary, who partnered with Chase for this tour. She makes it her business to build community for business owners.
Yes, so I was a banker for 20 years before I decided to become an entrepreneur. Seven of those years were actually at JPMorgan Chase. One of the biggest things that I had going into my entrepreneurial journey was a big background in banking.
So what advice are you giving business owners looking for financial backing today?
So Chase brings in so much knowledge and the opportunity to understand what financial tools are out there for business owners to build, grow, and scale their business. A lot of business owners will say, well, I need to get a loan immediately. Well, you wouldn't just lend money to your friend if you didn't know why they needed it. I tell every business owner, you need a business plan, you need financial projections, you need a banker. Because you have to start building a relationship with a banker so that they get comfortable with how you're going to build that business and so that they can eventually support you in different ways.
Makes sense. So visit the Chase Community Center on Crenshaw and Vernon. Meet a banker today. Tell them about your business. I am Aisha Cairo in the community for KBLA with JPMorgan Chase.
Meet LA's most affordable health plan. This open enrollment season, LA Care Covered is proud to offer the lowest cost health plans in Los Angeles County, featuring zero cost preventive services to help you achieve your wellness goals. Be part of the region's largest HMO network featuring UCLA Health, Optum, and Allied Physicians without breaking the bank. We are here to help. Call us at 855-222-4239 for enrollment assistance. That's 855-222-4239. LA Care Covered, your wellness, our mission.
Only 1 in 5 people with autism are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do. Like, what about a programmer?
That's a job for someone with autism.
How about a healthcare worker?
Yep. That is too. People with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas. Introducing WIN by Autism Speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
What about a ranch hand?
To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/win.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and we're having a conversation this morning talking about healing from life's dirty little secrets. We're talking with Soraya Christine, who wrote a book called Winning Strong, Strong Enough, where she tells her story. It started out as a journal and became a text, and her life is an open book. She's letting everybody know what she's done, what she's been through, but more importantly, she's letting everybody know how she made a shift in consciousness, how she began to forgive herself, forgive others, and now she spends her time helping all of us do the same. Soraya, your story has ignited some interest. We have a couple of callers on the line, so I'm going to go to the first caller on line one. Brother Johnny, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Brother Gerald, this is Johnny Hustler, man.
You know, I saw the name on the screen, and the first thing I thought about, I said, I knew a Johnny Hobson growing up in the neighborhood from Green Meadows Park and playing baseball as little leaguers. How you doing, Johnny?
That's
good
right.
To hear from you, my brother.
Hey, man. Hey, man, look here. Young lady, I want to thank you for sharing that, you know, because it inspired me to kind of take a load off. Gerald, you've been knowing me since I was 11 years old. I'll be 7 next month. That's something that you didn't know that I've been carrying with me for all these years. When I was 9 years old, my father shot and killed my mother and killed himself.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know you never knew that.
I never knew that, Johnny. And we played a whole lot of Little League ball together and hung out together in high school. And that's something
that
you...
That was my therapy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I got to tell you this. I always did admire you, man, because even at 10, 11 years old, you had swag.
I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. But, you know, Johnny, getting back to the statement that you made, because, again, this is something you witnessed, and you as a young man had to grow up with this. And now you're able to talk about it and get it out and heal from it. So just quickly, because we have a couple of the callers I need to get to, but just quickly, you know, tell us what made that shift in you? How did you, what made you embrace that situation, and how have you grown from it, and what are you doing today to help yourself and others?
Uh-huh. Well, first of all, I had the ethics. I didn't care about nothing or nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I didn't believe in God, because I figured if God was so above it and caring, he wouldn't allow me to have it.
Right.
As I got older, I couldn't even realize that, you know, he gives us freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
That was my father's choice. You know, the thing that hurt, I had, myself and my younger brother, we had the same father, but I'm number 6 out of 7. We all had the same mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the 5 older siblings, the more I grew up, I looked just like my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
All right? the more I grew up, the more I started looking like him, and the farther away they moved.
Right.
I posted one day on Facebook, it's hard being the only child when you got siblings.
I hear you. My brother, I want to be able to talk to you a little bit more in detail about this. So I might have to invite you in here one day so you can share your story. But I appreciate you calling. I'm glad you're listening, and I'm gonna let Soraya comment and give you some suggestion, because she talks to people who've been through things like you've been through all the time. So I'm going to let her give you a couple of words of wisdom, and I want you to make sure that you let my producer Odell know your information so I can get back in touch with you, Johnny. But it was a pleasure to hear from you. Soraya, Johnny yeah. just came to your workshop, and he revealed the fact that he watched his father mm-hmm. kill his mother as a child and never said a word. What word do you have for him?
I just want to first, Mr. Johnny, say thank you for sharing that. Thank you for having the courage to share that, because I'm sure that it wasn't easy for you even today to be able to say those words. And so that's the first step, is just being able to admit it. And one of the things that I say to people all the time is that we cannot beat an enemy that we can't see, right? So if we don't face what it is that has troubled us or been troubled us, and a lot of us carry, you know, things in our soul with us for our entire lives. I've met so many people that have done that. And so this is something that, you know, even somebody that you've known right here growing up never knew about you. And I understand that, because my book came out, people said the same thing. So my words to you are just continue staying in that space, continue to explore those feelings. Don't run from them, because they're going to help you to heal. They're going to help you to forgive. It was never your fault if you carried any guilt all of these years. Just know that, like you said, it was a decision that he chose to make. And so that's something that you can rest in, that it had nothing to do with you, and it doesn't affect your future, whether you look like him or not. So I would just say rest in those emotions and continue to explore them and continue to walk in your truth and your healing power.
Thank you for that, Soraya. And my brother Johnny, good to hear from you, brother, and we will be in touch. We have one other caller, Naomi from Las Vegas on line two. Naomi, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Thank you so much. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning. So, Naomi, you have a comment for Soraya?
I do. I am a professional artist and a ghostwriter and a keynote speaker here in Las Vegas. And 10 years ago, I was a crackhead, and I was in a relationship with a very abusive man who became the father of my son. And he introduced me to crack cocaine for the first time. We had a $1,500 a week habit between the two of us. And I had never been introduced to any drugs before that whatsoever. And Pastor Soraya, who I didn't know at all, she was just a Facebook friend and one I had never met, happened to put up a flyer that said that she was doing a Victims No More conference at a church nearby. And I attended that conference in tears, with a concussion, a broken rib, and a bruised knee, and a sprained wrist. And nobody there knew that had happened the day before. One of the worst abusive moments had happened just the day before. And I was still in the middle of my addiction and trying to figure out how to escape. And I attended her conference that day, again, not knowing anybody there, and cried through the whole thing. And in the middle of the conference, the ladies, the leaders, pulled me to the back into the pastor's office, and they just started praying with me and trying to pull it out of me, because I was living a double life. Nobody would have known that I was going through what I was going through. We were thought of as a power couple here in Las Vegas. We had a big business. We had been on the news. It was, nobody would have ever imagined that we were behind the scenes, this was going on, that we were going down to the dirt you know, mm-hmm. down in the grime and the grit. So they pulled it out of me, and I did the ugly sob booger cry in that office that day. And I will never forget Pastor Soraya and what she and those women did for me that day. She talked about being transparent and being able to tell her story, and that being one of the first tips that she has. And that's what she gave me, because our secrets keep us bound. Our secrets is what keeps us in that prison. And once I started, that first time I ever said that, I'm being abused, and we're smoking crack. Like, we're smoking a lot of crack, and I don't know what to do. First time I ever said that was the beginning of my release. And because of Pastor Soraya and God and the women in that room, I am a completely different woman today. I've been sober from my drug of choice since August 20th of 2014, which was a couple of months before I met Pastor Soraya. And also today I am completely free, clean, sober, from any recreational drugs and alcohol, and I'm saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. And Pastor Soraya, I love you. And any event I can ever attend, I always attend whenever she hosts it, because they are life changing and they are powerful. They are not just events.
Naomi, I want to thank you so much for that testimony, because you know this show, Urban Family Focus, exists for the sole purpose of letting our community know that in order for us to get through anything, in order for us to deal with anything, we first have to recognize that something. And our reason for being is to get people to open up and talk about what's going on in their life, knowing that there are people like Pastor Soraya, there are people like Reverend Gerald, there are counselors, there's people out there who want to help you, who can help you and can allow you to express yourself and get to a point where you can help yourself. But if we keep sweeping it under the rug, if we keep thinking because we have a little depression or a little anxiety that there's something wrong with us and we don't want nobody to know, and if you are being abused by a parent, a cousin, a husband, or a wife, and you don't want anybody to know because you're embarrassed, those are the things that we have to break through. And there are people like Pastor Soraya, myself, and others who, that's why I get up every morning. I get up to give people the opportunity to live their best life. But it starts with recognition. It starts with recognizing and announcing, I am, and tell the truth after that statement. And from that point, we can begin to heal. Thank you so much for your testimony, Naomi. Soraya, your comment, you were there when it happened, and I know you've seen this happen a lot.
Ooh, yes. And that, you know, I still remember that moment. It was a very real, very rough and very raw moment. But it was so amazing because the healing, the reward that happened on the other side, the transformation that happened in her life from the other side. And now, and she's, you know, not newly married. I guess not newly. They've been married for a little while now. But she has an amazing husband. Her life has taken a completely different turn. I've gotten to witness that. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that God has allowed me to be able to be this person in people's lives that have been able, you know, to open people up and allow them to share their stories, to share their truth. And so thank you, Naomi, for, you know, just always being a support and just for, you know, allowing God to move you that day and for you showing up that day and for you, you know, then subsequently taking the steps necessary to change everything about you and who you are. And so I think that that's incredible. And I just want to give you your flowers and let you know that you're amazing. And you are an amazing power out there in the world. And I'm so grateful for you.
And I'm grateful for both of you, Naomi, for sharing, Soraya, for you having, within your heart to let people know your story. And, you know, we talk about the spiritual experience, and as we know, the Black church is, as we know what it's done for us as a community. But I want to remind everybody that she has a ministry, but she's also pursuing her PhD in psychology. She also has a master's degree in management and leadership. So, you know, I think it was Martin Luther King said, you know, religion and science, you know, are not enemies. You know, they go together. And we have to, as a community, church is a good place to start, y'all. If you ain't going to talk to nobody else, you can talk to your pastor or somebody at church. But there are professionals. God gave some information for you as well. So we want us to get that spiritual side, but we also want us to go and see the medical professionals that can give us the help we need to remove ourselves from that addictive situation, to remove ourselves from feeling that because we're feeling a little depressed or anxious or that we're having panic attacks, that there's something wrong with us and we don't want nobody else to know. Those, all of those things have to come together, and all of them have to work together for the good of what God has for your life. And I just hope everybody will take what they've heard today and use it as motivation to tell the truth, first to yourself and then to everybody else. Soraya, I'm gonna let you tell, because one thing you did mention earlier I wanted to get back to, and that was the mental health side of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm going to let you talk a little bit about that as soon as we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
Healthy wives, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580.
Hey, it's Amanda. And a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is that they're so easy for the holidays. They're warm and flavorful. It's always a crowd pleaser. When I put down a nugget tray, everyone is happy.
Hey, this is Brian, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is the joy that it brings to me and everybody around me during the holidays. They're warm, juicy, and delicious.
Cater the holidays with Chick-fil-A today. Available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
My ride smells just right, just right, just right, just right.
Y'all gotta try that Febreze car.
Just right, just right, just right, just right. La 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 la. With up to 40 days of consistent scent, our low Febreze car clips right on your vent. You know my car's my happy place. Keep that smile on my face. When it smells just right, just right, just right. Breathe happy Febreze. La 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 la.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose America.
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580, connecting you with services and solutions. Stay Housed LA has the resources you need to know your rights and the legal support to back them up. The COVID-19 pandemic has cost people their jobs and livelihoods. This has left an estimated one-third of households not being able to make rent and facing losing their homes. This is a fear no one in our community should have to face. You have rights, though, and Stay Housed LA is here to help. Stay Housed LA is a partnership between the County of Los Angeles, the City of Los Angeles, and local community and legal service providers. Together, they provide tenants with the information and support needed to exercise their rights so they can remain safely in their homes. Find out more about your rights by participating in a virtual tenant workshop. Get the legal assistance you need. Find additional resources in Los Angeles County and the City of Los Angeles. Stay connected to Stay Housed LA County for updates. This and more at stayhousedla.org. Stay connected to Stay Housed LA for updates. This and more at stayhousedla.org. That's stayhousedla.org. Or call their hotline at 213-694-0040. We've got your black with a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
At KBLA Talk 1580, we do more than just talk.
You got a big mouth.
Hello, Joe, you're up. Welcome.
We're big unapologetically mouth. Progressive, and we don't black down.
But what you got in the dark, dreaming, will someday come to life.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and we're having a conversation, When Is Strong, Strong Enough is the book. Our topic today is healing from life's dirty little secrets. And as the song said, what was done in the dark must come to the light. You know, this abuse that you've experienced, Soraya, and Naomi called in and talked about, it has some effects on us from a mental perspective. 94% of women who were raped or experienced abuse suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. 30% of the women have PTSD 9 months after the incident happens. 33% of women who experience these actions think about committing suicide, and 13% of them actually attempt to do it. So it has a very strong impact on our mental health when we experience these traumas. And so I want you to just talk a little bit about that, because that's one of the points that you said you wanted to talk about, how it affects the mental health of the individual and what they can do to get help in those areas.
Yes. And so, you know, I think, you know, because a lot of us were raised with the sweep it under the rug mentality, we just automatically believe that we're supposed to be strong, right? And we're supposed to just take it, and we're supposed to just deal with it. And when we do that, what we don't realize is that we carry trauma in our bodies. And so what ends up starting to happen is that we start to break down. You know, we start to experience the depression out of the blue. We start to experience health conditions and aches and pains and diseases and different things that come upon us seemingly out of the blue. But it's because we have been this dumping ground. We have created in ourselves a trash can, if you will, for all of the trauma that we have endured throughout our lives. And so it affects us greatly. And so, you know, when you're trying to have a relationship, and this is my story, you know, you're trying to have a relationship with somebody and you realize that you can't really even connect with this person on a deep level. You can't, you know, foster friendships the way that you would like to foster friendships, because your mental health has been affected by the things that you have experienced. And so you realize that you're not performing in the way that you could perform at your job or your business or whatever that looks like. And you're wondering why you keep running into the same types of issues, why you keep attracting the same type of person, you know, why the same types of things continue to circle back and affect you. And it's because your mental health has been affected based on the fact that you have allowed yourself to be this dumping ground for trauma. And so I just encourage all out there to dig through that. Like I said, that muck and mire will destroy you. You know, if you allow it, the dirty little secrets will destroy you. And so you have to start talking about it in some way, even if, like I said, that's just to yourself. And journaling. Journaling is huge. Writing it down is huge. I got through my childhood trauma by writing. Thankfully, my school encouraged that in us. So I used to write poetry and stuff like that all the time. And that helped me survive. And so that's why I circle back to journaling, because that was my foundation. And I'm telling you guys, that will help you to feel better, because it gets it out of you and puts it on paper. From there, it opens up other paths and other doors for you to be able to continue that healing journey. So it's so important for you to start talking about it in some form. Go seek out some help, go seek out some therapy, go seek out some counseling, go seek out a life coach, you know, whatever that looks like for you. But whatever it is, do it and stop carrying the weight of that trauma.
So Soraya, we only have a minute and maybe not quite 2 minutes left here to talk to. I want you to make sure that before we run out of time, you let people know how to get in touch with you, where they can find you online, social media, and those things for people that may need to talk to you and to get the encouragement they need to do something about changing their life.
Absolutely. So you guys can find me on SorayaChristine.com. That's SorayaC C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E.com, SoriaChristine.com. I do have a workshop coming up called Right to Heal. I do have some holiday special pricing right now, so you can find that on the website under workshops. Please go ahead and get registered for that workshop because it starts real soon. I have a Women in Leadership Conference coming up in Atlanta on February 21st and Houston on March 20th. We're going to be touring the entire United States. I want you guys to tap in. You can find more information about that on the website as well. And you can find me anywhere on social media under Soriah Christine. I'm everywhere. I'm pretty Googleable, so you can find me pretty much anywhere.
Soriah Christine, SoriaChristine. Thank you so much for sharing your life story with us this morning and encouraging others to call in and share theirs. We want you to keep doing the great work that you're doing, and I will be in touch with you because you and I are going to stay closely connected so we can help each other, help somebody live a best life. Black Lives Matter is next. You've been listening to Urban Family Focus.